We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider Rapid Reaction Edition. First time since January 23rd that we've been able to bring you a rapid reaction post-game video podcast. I'm Jones. That's Adam. Unfortunately, no CB McGrath tonight with the, I know, see ya. Yeah, you're not the only one, Adam, with the late change in the schedule. Plus CB was still out shopping for those sweater vests, so he couldn't be with us tonight, but we hope to have him again soon. But Adam, what we do have is a 20-point win over Northeastern for Carolina, 82-62. We're going to talk about it, get Adam's rapid reactions. You're going to hear from Walker Kessler, who had one of his best days, certainly statistically his best day as a Tar Heel. You'll hear from Roy Williams as well. But all in all, Adam, I thought maybe one of the biggest storylines coming from this game is just that there are value to playing games like this, that Carolina is more talented than Northeastern. They could play through some mistakes. They could let some young guys play together, work through some stuff, and ended up having a bunch of different players that contributed to the win.
I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward. I think people sort of assume, well, that's a meaningless game against Northeastern. I think you might have gained some things from this game that'll be beneficial as you hopefully get to play more ACC games in the days and weeks to come. Carolina got great production from the bench, got everybody a chance to play relatively meaningful minutes, got a win, and got to play a home game. That's a successful night.
All right, so this is, of course, the Rapid Reactions podcast, so let's get to Adam's rapid reactions from this one. Oh, only two tonight. Only two out of three tonight. You're not quite up to full strength, but that's okay. It's a difficult season.
When the game isn't on the original schedule calendar, right, you get no sweater vest, yep, and you only get two reactions. That's the rules.
All right. Well, reaction number one, Adam, bench points, and the Tar Heels had a bunch. I thought Carolina's bench was impressive tonight for sure.
I think there were significant stretches where Carolina's bench was better than the starters. The Tar Heels finished with 40 bench points. That's a season high. Northeastern only had 12. It wasn't just one player who got hot. You got contributions from a lot of different ones. Walker Kessler, as you see there. Dayron Sharp was big down in the post, both scoring and rebounding. Andrew Playtech had a really good stretch in the first half as Carolina was stretching it out from a close game to a relatively comfortable lead. A lot of contributions from a lot of different Tar Heels.
Carolina finishes, you may have just said this, Adam, I don't listen when you're talking, 40 bench points to just 12 for Northeastern. So an impressive number there from Carolina, from what they got from the guys who didn't start the game. Adam, one thing we know the Tar Heels have is size. This felt like a game where Carolina's size could play a role, and it indeed did.
Yeah, Carolina's just bigger than Northeastern, and that clearly was the game plan. Get the ball inside to the Tar Heel bigs, let them score 42 points in the paint. Had a big rebounding edge, 48-33. Got 18 second chance points. Carolina's just bigger. And I also thought they used that size in interesting ways. They even used it some defensively in the second half as they decided to start double-teaming Walker since he was doing everything in single coverage in the first half. Used a big guy on him when he got a ball screen, and that made him have a much less efficient second half than he did in the first half.
So double-double from Garrison Brooks. He had 11 points and 13 rebounds. Kessler in double figures. Sharp in double figures. Bacot was close. He had 9 points and 8 rebounds in the game as well. So all four of those Tar Heel big men effective in this one. Again, a 20-point Tar Heel win, 82-62. So where do we go from here? We go to one of those big men. One of these two men you're about to hear talk is very large, and one of them is very small. It is Adam interviewing Walker Kessler. We're going to go from that to then Roy Williams in his post-game press conference. We'll come back out of Coach Williams and talk a little bit about the uncertainty that now faces the Tar Heels as far as the schedule is concerned. But let's start with that dynamic duo of Adam and Walker Kessler.
Joined now by Walker Kessler, just outside the Carolina locker room. Walker, the Tar Heels get to play a game, and they get the win. That's pretty much all you can ask for at this point, the way the season's going, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And a home game. That's something else that's kind of, you know, out of the ordinary now. But, it was fun to be on the court and kind of get out of our little slump from Virginia. It's just fun. Just fun playing. Get back to playing.
We can talk all we want about the value of playing games and not having another week-long break, but from a player's perspective, what's the value in actually getting to go out there and compete against another opponent?
Just, you know, rust builds up pretty quick. So just being able to just go out, play hard, play with your teammates, and just compete, I mean, there's nothing like it. And it just, you know, helps you so much for the next game.
You were one of the bright spots up in Charlottesville and then played very well again tonight. What do you feel like is coming more naturally at this point in the season?
I can't speak for my jump shot yet, but just being on the court, just, you know, getting more comfortable. You know, as a freshman, you're kind of overwhelmed with it all just initially, but really just starting to settle in and, you know, taking mistakes, and instead of, you know, being frustrated with it, which I struggle with, obviously, you can see it on the court. But being able to learn from it, I think, is so valuable.
When you know you're going to be playing limited minutes and you know that you are very hard on yourself when something goes wrong, how have you learned how to manage those two things so that if one thing goes wrong, that doesn't sour the full stint you get in 2 or 3 minutes at a time?
Right. I mean, it's been tough. It's definitely been tough, especially for me, because, as you know, I am pretty hard on myself. But I just think you just got to just go 100%. Even if you, like, make a mistake, like, do it, you know, make the mistake, go on your hardest. So that's really been the biggest thing for me, is just trying to just go hard the whole time.
All right, now let's talk about the three-pointer.
Yeah.
It went in. That's what matters. But it also did slightly kiss off the backboard before
slight,
it went in
very
there.
Very slight.
What feedback did you get from your teammates after that shot?
Well, first off, it was more like a headbutt than anything. But, you know, happy for it to go in. You know, I just feel like I have to get more comfortable on the free line, and I haven't really talked to my teammates yet, but I'm sure I'll get some comments. So excited for those for sure.
From a player's perspective, how do you manage the uncertainty that has taken over the season? Saturday's opponent, Louisville, canceled their game tonight. How do you get ready for a game that you're not completely sure is going to occur?
I mean, it's definitely tough just because there's no precedent. You know, you can't look back in the past and like, oh, how'd they handle this? But you just got to treat it like you're going to play every game that's been scheduled, honestly. You know, rather it'd be better to be prepared and the game not happen than, you know, not be prepared and the game happen. So
it feels like your motor and effort and intensity are something that Coach Williams is always pleased with, and it also seems like that's turned into even more beneficial plays here in the last few weeks or so. How do you – Coach Williams always says shouldn't have to coach effort. Why is it that he never has to coach effort with Walker Kessler?
Just going back on how hard I am on myself, I just think that, you know, if you're not trying hard, then what are you doing? You know, if you make a mistake and just lay down – I mean, there's no really benefit in that. You know, at least you can say you're going hard. And, for example, terrible miss on that second three-pointer, you know, going hard after the rebound and then missing four more shots, like you said, getting a double-double on one play. but, yeah, you know, just going hard, like, there's so much benefit that can come from it.
That's Carolina big man Walker Kessler, a second straight career high as the Tar Heels defeat Northeastern. Walker, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, my opening comments. First of all, I just heard their men's golf team finished tied for first in their tournament out on the West Coast, so I'm ecstatic about that. I think that is really good. And the reason I went to this towel at the end is because Big John was a great influence on me. He was great friends with Coach Smith. In fact, he called me last year and left me a message. Didn't like what I was saying after the game and jumped all over me. But the funniest thing he's ever said to me is I told him one time, I said, "Big fella," I said, "I'm going to start wearing a big old towel on my shoulder like you do." And he started laughing, and he said a few words that we won't repeat. But he basically told me, he said, "If you wear a big old towel like mine, it'll be you like you wearing a big blanket, boy." So, honoring John Thompson is something that the only bad thing, it was hard to keep that thing on my shoulder. I kept putting it there, and somebody kept taking it off, or somehow it kept sliding off. But we're happy about the win, having four guys in double figures and two guys close to that as well was good. I think that trying to do a better job on Walker in the second half was huge for us. The first half, I said, I've never been outscored by one guy, but it looked like that he was going to do that. He's really a gifted player and made it tough for us, 7 for 8, 4 or 5 from the three-point line in the first half. But I thought we were better in the second half. The shooting percentage, we missed so many easy ones right around the basket. The big guys didn't have a great day of finishing up there, but I like the fact that Garrison and Mondo did some good things, but I really like that Dayron and Walker both came off the bench and had double figures for us as well. So Caleb Love, 9 assists and 2 turnovers, and I think he had 2 turnovers in the first 4 minutes of the game or something like that. I don't know, one was a charge and one was a pass, but glad we got to play a game. It was a tough week. We've lost, and now there's talking about other games being lost, but you guys may have heard the story. I'll make it official. When we knew we were not going to have Virginia Tech, we reached out first to those people who were on our schedule originally, most of them in the state that we had to cancel early. Some of their protocols wasn't what we needed it to be, and one of them was even in a pause themselves. Then we had discussions with 2 other schools, and that didn't work out. And so Clint put it out on tweet or twit, whatever it was, and we got some responses there. And Northeastern, they had one of the schools that reached out, and Clint Gwaltney, our assistant AD and charge of basketball, called them, and I thought it was a good thing for us. I didn't realize how good Walton was. He reminds me of likes at Miami, and that he's always been really difficult for us. But I hope that Billy thinks his team got something out of it, and we did. When I was in Little League, if we had 15 games, I wanted to play 15. If one got rained out, I wanted to be rescheduled. When I was a high school coach, we had 20 regular season games. If one got snowed out, I wanted to be rescheduled. And so that's what we were trying to do, is just to get some more games and get some more home games. Today was only our 7th game at home, and somebody showed me a stat before the game today. We had the lowest percentage of home games of anybody in the 353 teams in Division I. That's all the monologue I got.
Did you see as the major benefits of making sure you had another home game as opposed to, you know, just taking a game in the ACC if you had to go on the road or something like that and instead playing this non-conference game at home?
Well, we needed to play a game at home, period. We have 6 home games before today out of 19, and that's not it's not equitable. It's not fair. I've always tried to play a difficult non-conference schedule, and this year our ACC Big Ten fell on the road. Guys like to play at home. I mean, that was a pretty easy one to answer. You're always, you know, again, guys, up until about the last week or so, teams have won 70% of their home games. somebody says the crowd's not there, so home court is not a factor. That's BS. You're used to shooting in your gym. You're used to sleeping in your bed. You're eating the meals that you always eat and not what somebody else prepared. Again, I think it's I'm willing to stop playing the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I'm willing to stop everything, play 20-game schedule, and play the rest of our games at home. We play 14, 15, or 16 home games normally in our schedule. And some teams in our league play 19, 20, 21. And this thing, the whole thing that's going on right now, I feel a heck of a lot safer coming here and playing than I do getting on a plane going somewhere else and playing. And, again, we didn't try to find number 353 in the country. We found a team that had a higher RPI or net, whatever it is, than three teams in our league. So, yes, if we have to go on Twitter again, I'm going to try to find another home game. It's bottom line.
How important was it to get this game scheduled and played just to try to maintain some type of rhythm for the players?
I think, Greg, it was important, and I'll give you this example. When Clint walks in at the end of our practice and comes over and talks to me, my guys are over there dying. I mean, one day we talked, and we talked about the price of cheese in China. And I walked away from him, and all my guys are there staring at me and said, I said, guys, everything's okay. And one of them said, Coach, when we see you talking to somebody else, we think we're losing the game. And that's the mental health issue of 20 other mental health issues that we've got to worry about with our guys. They want to play a season. We all do, but we want to be as safe as we possibly can. But, no, I don't mind telling anybody. We're going to try to find if people cannot come and play, all right, in B.C., we were going there. But a few weeks back, it looked like our schedule was going to be 10 road games and 7 home games. And since that time, we've lost 2 more home games. So come on now. We're going to try to play people and don't have any idea what's going to come from it. But we'll wait and see. And Clint's earning his money this year. He's never earned it in his life, but he's earning it this year.
Thanks.
All right, Ross, last one, and we'll get the players in here. Thank you.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned Sharp and Kessler's high-quality play tonight. How have you seen them grow at this point in the season, and what are some things that you're really still on them about and improving?
Making a simple play on the offensive end, scoring around the basket, defending the basket. I think I've always said to our big guys that I thought we could be much better this year than we were last year is defending around the basket, and I think that's the biggest thing for us. We only had 2 blocks, but I think we do make it difficult, more difficult for guys to score around the basket. And we have 4 big guys that have been shooting a much higher percentage than our perimeter players. So, I mean, it wasn't a great shooting day for our big guys today, but over the course of the season, they've shot a much higher percentage. So, for us, it's the smartest thing to get them the shots. I think all 4 of our guys are big-time college players who are going to be big-time players and play basketball for a living, and it's not going to come at the same speed for everybody, and it's not as easy for everybody. I asked Sean May a question today, and I knew the answer, which is the way most coaches do. I asked him how many threes he shot in his career for me. He said 0. But he was first-team All-ACC. He was the 13th player drafted in the draft, led us to a national championship, played basketball for a living, and did okay. Walker Kessler, especially, I'll put some pressure on him. He just walked in the back of the room. He does have a chance to be one of those guys who can make a lot of shots and make shots from the outside. He hadn't shot it great so far this year, but I think he's going to be one of those guys that will be able to do it. And I'll tell you the same thing I told him. He laughed, too. I said, I know you're going to start making them, but I want it to be in my lifetime. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the time from Walker Kessler there after the game. Always great to hear from him. Fun personality from him. And, of course, Coach Williams, always enjoy hearing from Coach and what he has to say. So now, Adam, uncertainty. I used that word earlier. I think that might be the best one for the Tar Heels right now. We learned on Wednesday that Carolina's game next week at Boston College, that's already been postponed. The Tar Heels were supposed to play at home on Saturday against Louisville. Louisville had to postpone a game today due to a COVID problem within the Cardinal program. So unclear what will happen with that. gosh, just don't know. I think Roy Williams made it pretty clear in his postgame that he wants to play some games and wants them to be at home. If they're ACC games, that's great. If not, he's going to find somebody to play. So just uncharted waters here over the next couple of days for Carolina.
Well, and I think you saw tonight why Roy Williams wants to play, because you get benefits from playing actual games. Hopefully the Tar Heels will know in the hours to come. Hopefully it doesn't take days if they're going to face Louisville on Saturday, and they'll have time if they don't play Louisville to get a game together. There's four of us in here, so we only need one more, and we'd have enough to take on the Tar Heels. At this point, I think Roy Williams would take pretty much anybody, but Carolina needs that game against Louisville because that's an important opportunity for a good win that Carolina really needs on the NCAA tournament resume at this point in time.
You're guarding Kessler when that game comes to fruition here coming up soon. So right now, as Adam and I are sitting here talking to you, Saturday at 6 o'clock, Carolina and Louisville is the next scheduled game for the Tar Heels, but certainly keep your eyes and ears open for however you follow the Tar Heels to get that news, because I do think we'll either get a confirmation of that game or a lack of a confirmation of that game here in the near future, hopefully to see what is next for Carolina. But what happened today was the Heels got a big win, 82-62 over Northeastern. Tar Heels improved to 13-7 on the season. They stay 7-5, of course, in ACC action. Really appreciate you being here. Wish we could do this on a more consistent basis, but it has just been that kind of year. We hope to be with you again soon after the Tar Heels play at home. For now, we say goodbye. Thanks for joining us here on the Carolina Insider.